Well, I think the future is really strong in this country. I think that right now our business is growing dramatically, more people showing than ever before, more horse shows than ever before, more opportunities to show.
This is The Safari. The Safari is a tour around the consumer, brand, and retailing industry. And we have the great privilege here at my company, Traub, to really be exposed to many of the great minds of the industry who are forming and shaping the future of many different parts of the consumer, brand, and retail world. And I felt it was quite interesting for us to be able to not only learn from all of those people as we do every day, but memorialize it into a podcast, which could then be shared with many of our friends and clients and you, obviously, the listener. It's very rare that you get to speak to someone who's pioneered a whole area of a sport or an industry, let alone dominated it for nearly 50 years. Today is the enthusiast episode, and we're going to speak to Tom Strizzieri, who is the founder and CEO of HITS, Horse Shows in the Sun. And he is really the most incredible entrepreneur. I mean, he has an infectious way of looking at absolutely everything in this world and figuring out how to turn it into a business. And he's just really commercial in every sense of the word. And I find it just remarkable and inspiring to speak to him, to hear him, because he really sees the world in a way that most people don't. And I think it's really wonderful to understand the horse show industry through his eyes, to see the progression of that business over now 45 years. And we're proud to call him partner here at Traub Capital. And I frankly think that everyone should learn from this entrepreneur, because he is the quintessential entrepreneur's entrepreneur. Stick around. Tom Strizzieri, thank you so much for joining me today on The Safari. How are you?
I'm doing well, Morty. Thanks for having me on. This is going to be fun. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. So you are currently in Saugerties, I think.
I am. Saugerties is my home. We have horse shows here, so it worked out well. So it's been a great place to raise a family. And Saugerties is a home for 25 years.
Well, this being the enthusiast episode, there's no one quite as powerful within a sport, but also I would say within multiple enthusiast activities. So let's just start there. You know, you have been obviously a pioneer in the sport of show jumping in the English equestrian field for now probably more than 45 years. But you are also a passionate sportsman in many other ways. So tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into not only equestrian, but also your other passions that involve, I think, doing triathlons and all kinds of other enthusiast activities.
Well, you're kind when you call me a sportsman, Morty. I appreciate that. So I'm not called that very often. But as many people who ride when they're young, I aspired to have a riding career, you know, horseback riding career, and went into and was able to follow my passion by going into the horse business. Started off training horses and having a little riding stable in Poughkeepsie, New York. And then that grew into some small horse shows at that farm, which ultimately grew into more horse shows there and more horse shows around the country. And now the business that we have now, the Horse Shows in the Sun, HITS is an acronym for Horse Shows in the Sun. So that's me following my passion. And the other passion that I have that developed into a little bit of a business was my passion for triathlon. And we started a little HITS triathlon company, endurance company, maybe 15 years ago, and had done some events again around the country. The business that pays the bills is the horse show business, and the other one that I'm passionate about is still a little involved in the endurance business.
And so you started this business, I think, if I'm not mistaken, might have been something to do with the World's Fair. Is that not? Am I right with that? Long time. Maybe it was like pre-HITS even. Like you were literally way back doing this and starting with horses with your family even, I think, in some fashion.
I did. We were one of those families that worked together, which is a great thing, I think. And And I think my family's done the same with me. So that's worked out pretty well. But my brothers and my father and I as a very young boy, and I think I was, must have been 6 or 7 years old, were involved in one of the riding concessions at the World's Fair. And that piqued my interest in the equestrian lifestyle and being around horses and ponies. And if you had asked me then what I was going to do for a living, it was going to be, a horseman. And if I knew what that meant. And now here I am still saying the same thing. My father would always say to me, be careful, you really don't have a trade. So you better stick with this this horse thing a little bit longer until you figure it out. So here I am still sticking with it. I started my business in 77 while I was starting to go to college. So, and I've been in the horse business ever since.
So describe the U.S. equestrian landscape in 1977. Who was riding? How did they, where did they go? How did they do it? And how did you, over the decades, change that landscape?
Well, I think the fact that I wasn't a very privileged individual allowed me to look at it from a different lens than many of the competitors then. So it was a very, it still is a very affluent clientele, but it was mostly a high performance clientele, and most of the horse shows were made up of people who rode at a pretty high level. And because my experience had been at a lower level, I decided that there was room for those same people who didn't ride at the very highest level to have an opportunity to compete as well. And so that's where we started. That's where HITS started its horse shows, catering to the client that perhaps maybe couldn't be as competitive at the other horse shows, or maybe didn't want to go to those other horse shows. And so we were the alternative for many years to some of those other bigger events. There were smaller horse shows in those days, and clearly they were targeted for a very, very specific client.
Yeah. And so today, obviously, you are the largest producer of horse shows in the United States by, I would say, number of horses that come to see you across the country, but also number of weeks. And so over that 45-year period, you brought into the tent, as it were, the tent of the industry, and especially the HITS tent, you brought in, you know, tens of thousands of enthusiast lifestyle participants, exhibitors, as you call them, and they come to you and they are able to compete at many different levels, ranging from young children, then to maybe more, as they progress, they go up the ladder, as it were, and they earn points with the United States Equestrian Federation, known as USEF, and then they can compete to get better and better than the sport. And their dream maybe is to graduate to high levels, but ultimately you're able to give them a prize. You're able to give them an experience at whatever level they are at. And how long did it take to sort of formulate all these different sort of strata, as it were, and all the different levels of competition? And I assume that you did a lot of that with the United States Equestrian Federation. But like, how did you manage to basically invent all these different ways of competing?
Well, that's quite a question, Morty. Okay, I'm paying attention. When I actually started this conversation with you a few moments ago, I talked about my dream and many of my peers' dreams was to ride at the Olympics or to ride at Madison Square Garden at the finest horse shows. And many of us just never got to that level, or it's reserved for a very special few to ride and represent our country. So, but many of us had that dream. And so what we did was, in those days, in the early days, there were two or three show rings at a big horse show. And now that's as many as a dozen show rings. So there might be 12 competitions going on at the same time, and very, very eclectic. You might be at your first horse show in ring 12, and you might be competing for a spot on a U.S. team in ring 1 at the same event, same exact event. And that's been the evolution of the sport, really, since the mid 70s. And I think HITS has been a big part of that by offering all these opportunities to come and compete at the same events as your heroes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's a unique sport for that. And male and female competing against each other and being able to compete at the same event as an equestrian star, it is quite unique. And that's how we've really grown the business. And it's worked out really well for us. But I think that there was a bit of an evolution in our business, in the hits business, in 2008, when the economy got a little challenged. We looked to see how we could add more players to our existing business, and we went out and started to cultivate the high end, so that by the time, and most of that was done by prize money, by offering the biggest purses in the United States at that time and still currently. And when we did that, we were able to attract that client. And then by adding that client to our regular client, that base we had, now we had a huge number of clients, every range of skill levels. And that's still the product we have today.
For people who don't really belong or have not spent time at all within this sport, or indeed around horses, how would you describe the passion that the exhibitor has, not only for the sport, but indeed for their animals, and how that informs the way they show up and the way they interact with you and with indeed the sport?
Yeah, it's a lifestyle for these clients and for these people that are involved. So it's not just something that they do casually. It requires, first of all, it requires a terrific amount of financial stability to be able to do this sport. Many of them own more than one horse. Their time, whenever all their free time is spent somehow involved with their horses, whether it's at a horse show or at home training to be at a horse show or watching their trainers prepare their horse. So that it's a terrific commitment. We've been able to tweak the commitment a little bit by allowing people to show at a little lower level than they used to show at. So what that means is when you're jumping big jumps, you need to be constantly practicing and constantly being in touch with your horse and involved. As people's lives change and as we tried to attract a different client, we realized those people had full lives. They had other things going on. They were raising other children, or they had other interests, academic interests, etc. And so they were able to have their lives interact with their horse lives. So it's changed a bit from when it was 25 years ago. It's still a terrific commitment, but it allows them to have more complete lives, and it's allowed us to grow the business because more people were able to get into it because we gave them that flexibility.
And so they travel, right? These people travel to see you, but also to other shows. I mean, how does that all work? What is sort of the mechanics of getting to a horse show, and how does Hits greet all these people, presumably thousands of horses and grooms and family members, and talk a little bit about the plumbing of the business of the business?
Sure. And so Morty, horses come, they come by truck, they come by plane, they come from all over the world, in fact, to show with us. And they bring their families. Heck, my children grew up going to school in the winter, for example, a school we'd have at the horse show, which we still have in the winters in Ocala, Florida. We still have a school on the site. So they grew up riding their horses and then going to classroom in one of the houses on the grounds with kids that they'd seen every winter, year after year. But the horses get there. They come with a group of people. There's several people per horse, the trainer, the groom, the rider, many times the owner. A lot of times it's the parents, the grandparents will come on the weekends. And so we have four people per horse by the time a Saturday or a Sunday comes around, and even more at our championship events. So our end is being everything from their place that helps feed their horses, helps feed the people that come, trying to find them accommodations, whether it's in their bus, their RV, at local simple lodging, at local luxury lodging. And so we cross over into so many different areas that the horse show sometimes gets lost in the sauce. We hope not. But for many times for me, by the time I make sure that you're getting your shavings and your hay and your grain for your horses, and that you're finding, that I'm finding table for 14 of you and your best friends on Saturday night dinner in a town that doesn't want that there on a Saturday night at 7:30. So all the things that go into it. So it's not just, it's become so much different than just the horse show business than it, like it once was.
Yeah, it's amazing in the sense that you have this, not only do you have multiple plates spinning in each location, whether it be hospitality of the human, taking care of the horses, obviously putting on the events, but you indeed have this happening at five different locations during the year. Obviously, Florida, the Ocala show happens on its own in the winter, but the four up north are sort of somewhat happening at similar times. And so you're also doing this juggling of all these amazing properties and all these people and horses all at the same time. And so you now have the season, as we hear, we're in the spring now, 2022, and you are heading into the season. How does the season now look up north, the summer season, across Saugerties, Chicago, Vermont, and indeed in Virginia?
Each of the facilities is different, you know, which is kind of a fun thing to have. But, you know, we like to own our own facilities. That makes it easier. That way we're to blame, really, if the facility isn't working, so that, you know, we're ultimately responsible for the things that happen at the facility. And we're planning, we're marketers, because we're trying to get these clients to commit to come to our horse shows. We're travel planners, because we're trying to commit to many of them might come to Chicago for a few weeks and then come all the way across the country to Saugerties. Maybe some of my California customers might like to do that, or come for our championship in Saugerties at the end of the season. Then we've got people, we're trying to convince people to come to Vermont to spend 6 weeks with us there, in Manchester. And each of the circuits is a different animal. Some of them attract people that come for example, in Ocala, they might come for 10 straight weeks or 3 months and spend, or 6 months. And, you know, if the clients who stay there actually all year round, even when our horse shows aren't going on, still mm-hmm. stable with us. And that's grown quite a bit, actually, in the last 4 months down in Florida. And then you have the clients that might come to Vermont to use it as the horse show fairgrounds, you might say, where they come and country fair for a week and have a great time. And the horse show might be secondary to what they're doing up there for that whole week.
Yep.
And so we turn over a lot of horses there every week, whereas in most places, people stay for several weeks. So each facility offers us different challenges or different opportunities, depending on how you look at it.
We'll be right back. I want to take a second to explain to you why Traub is able to bring you the safari. We pride ourselves in being at the very center of a very global, very complicated consumer and retail landscape. And in our travels, as we help think, manage, and expand businesses in many different channels and geographies, we're able to meet and learn from some of the great minds in this industry, and it's really wonderful to be able to bring them to you. And in doing so, I hope that you, the listener, will be able to learn a little bit more about what we do at Traub as well. Back to the safari. And so how, you know, obviously, you have new partners, and we're proud to be your partners. What do you think's in store for HITS over the coming years?
Well, the new partnership at Traub is an exciting one for me. A group of people that want to help me grow the company, that are bringing new ideas in. You know, as I said earlier, the old days it was really just a matter of running a horse show. Now it's more of an opportunity to, more of a hospitality opportunity for the client and their whole family. Mm-hmm. So getting some help with that, which is good. So I think we're going to grow that aspect of our business, everything from the technology to making the event easier to attend and to enter, to your experience. It's all about the experience while you're there. And it's experience not just for the rider, but for the rider's family. So I'm getting help with that. We're trying to grow the business to add maybe another facility or two, who knows, and some other events at the existing facilities that we can expand. So it's an exciting time to be involved with HITS, because I think over the course of the next 36 months, we're going to see some real growth and some cool changes that our clients will want. Now, it's a client that's terribly demanding.
Yes.
So it's not a client that we're going to fool. We have to give them quality, or they're going to see through it.
Yeah, no question. And for those who are listening who are curious, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who, from the non-endemic side, I mean, the endemic sponsors obviously are those who are recurring to the equestrian industry, and that they know a lot about HITS. But amazingly, HITS is an opportunity for brands who are trying to access the you know, it's probably 70,000 women a year competing within your walls or on your properties. You know, that individual is an incredibly affluent individual who is flying their horses or driving long distances and obviously having to upkeep these horses. There's you know, what can you say a little bit about sort of the different kinds of customers? I mean, there's a young woman, there's a middle-aged woman, there's even an old woman. It's predominantly female in the United States, I believe. In Europe, I think it's more 50-50, but I think here it's mainly or predominantly females who compete. What can you tell us about the customer and you know, you touched on them obviously being incredibly demanding, but they're also a luxury consumer. So what can you tell us about the different kinds of customers you have?
Well, for sure, it's interesting. When I was back training horses back in 77 in Poughkeepsie, 1977, a nice horse, if we found a $25,000 horse, one of our customers, we were pretty excited. And it was a big expense. It was a big commitment. And, you know, it was a horse that you expect to be competitive at every level. Now that's you can't buy a horse now that can horse show for $25,000. So, you know, the typical horse at a horse show to be competitive is for sure six figures. And in the Grand Prix, it's seven figures. So that's changed. That's changed so much in our sport. But you're right, though. It is mostly female. Remember, Moria, and I think a lot of listeners don't even understand the fact that we do hunter and jumper shows. And if you don't mind me spending a minute on that. So
absolutely.
You know, the jumper side of it, which is those listening might know that as, you know, obviously you're jumping big jumps and you're going as fast as you can. And that's a big part of our business. And then there's dressage, which is you don't jump and you're given a test for your horse and rider to accomplish. And then you're graded on that. And we do a bit of that, by the way. We've added that to our scope the last 24 months. And we're heading towards becoming one of the bigger dressage producing companies in the country. And that, again, really, really heavily female. And then There's also reining. We don't do any reining events. And you may, you know, that some of the fun TV shows that are being shown now show some of those reiners, and there's some fun stuff going on. Some of those are friends of mine. And there's a very unknown one called vaulting. The hunters and jumpers is the one that we do, and we concentrate on that primarily, that and a bit of dressage, mostly female. Very affluent because it's an expensive thing. One of the fun things we do is when we get together at a convention, we talk about how can we control the costs for these clients that come to the horse shows. And I'll get to the microphone and say the cost that they spend at the horse shows is their smallest fee. You know, yeah. By the time they spend six figures and much more on horse after horse, and then the trainer, you know, for thousands of dollars a month and boarding their horse for thousands of dollars a month. And then, and heck, breeding their horse at the horse show for $100 a day. You know, they probably spend all those fees. I mean, that they're, you know, we're picking up the crumbs, you know, when it comes right down to it. So it's not for those that can't spend, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the enthusiast platform that you've created, and you've obviously been in this business, and you alluded to the fact as well that you have been in the endurance sport business a little bit with your son. And, you know, what are some of the things that you think really isolate that consumer from, you know, anyone else? I mean, what do you think it is that are some of the key DNA of that consumer that you've identified that is obviously good business because presumably they keep on coming back if they're loyal to you. But is there anything that you can sort of isolate that's particularly interesting about the enthusiast consumer?
Well, in horse sports, for sure, it's very, very great majority of my clients are lifelong the horse people. And, you know, it gets in your blood when you're young, and it's a passion that doesn't leave. It's one of those unique sports. It's a lifetime sport as well.
Yeah.
You know, when I played a little football in high school, you know, that the last time I touched a football competitively was as a senior. Right. So, whereas, you know, I still rode a horse this year at the ripe old age of, you know, I'm not going to tell you, Morty, but you got an idea, but it is a lifetime sport. Which makes it very unique. You know, there are a few other sports like that out there, but it's a special one. And there's a common bond between horse people. You know, I can go all over the world, and if I walked into some place in Germany and mentioned Saugerties, well, half the room is going to know. It's interesting. So there are friends of mine. I remember this story from years and years ago. I was in a restaurant in New York, and this fellow was saying to me, "I'm going to tell you the difference between horse sports in the United States and horse sports around the rest of the world. Watch this." And he sends to this, is this couple next to us, and obviously a German accent. And he says to them, "Do you know a certain fellow who is a German rider?" And yes, they knew him. They were not horse people, but they knew him. It's a worldwide sport. It's amazing how around the world the sport is known. But if the other couple to our other side, Americans, we mentioned a famous American rider, they had no idea what we were talking about. So it's a very international sport. United States, a little late coming to the party there. On the other hand, we're as competitive as any country in the world internationally. And that says a lot about our horse shows and our system here, and the fact that people are so committed to the sport. So while it's not, I don't offer the most impressions of everybody else in all the other sports, we offer terrific demographics, very, very, very serious people.
Yeah.
And they care a lot about the sport, and it's a lifetime thing.
And I mean, oftentimes we hear in other enthusiast sports, they also travel in packs. So that if they're a happy customer, they tend to evangelize on your behalf. Is that the same in the equestrian space?
Yeah. I mean, that's for the good and the bad, as you know, right?
Yep.
So that's good when I'm popular, and not so good, I'm not so popular, right? So, but it is the case. And they're very, very sincere, and they're very loyal. So that's a huge plus.
So Tom, we're at the last question here. Amazingly, it flew by. I'd love you to just spend the last minute saying, asking a macro idea of what you're hopeful for and how you feel about the future of the hunter jumper sport in this country. And, you know, post COVID, obviously a lot of people came into the sport. You know, do you see that continuing, and how, what's the future look like for this sport in this country?
Well, I think the future is really strong in this country. I think that right now our business is growing dramatically. Like you say, during COVID, people got into things like this. You know, I mean, more people showing than ever before, more horse shows than ever before, more opportunities to show. I know that our federation, the USEF, which is the national governing body for horse sports in the United States, is very committed to helping grow the sport. But like every other sport, we're fighting for the same customers, right? We're trying to keep our foothold, but I'm very bullish on where the sport's going, and the numbers are proving that out. And I think that as personally, my company HITS is going to continue to grow, find some more locations, and all good. Hopefully, I'll still be riding when the next time you have me on the safari.
Oh, I'm sure you will, my friend. And you'll be also biking across country, as I know you're doing later in September, and among many other endurance things. So you're an inspiration. Tom Stasiere, you are the legendary CEO and founder of HITS. It's a great pleasure to have had you on the safari. Thanks for doing it.
Thanks, Morty. Appreciate it.
If you want to learn a little bit more about Traub, you can go to traub.io, where you'll learn a lot about everything that we do. If you're enjoying the safari, please do share it with your friends and colleagues within the industry. And please also don't forget to subscribe and like it. Until next time.